Okay, I guess now you're into the plumbing, as they say, the architecture. We need to start, you need to start. Fortunately, I don't have to make any decisions. And we can see how far we get. I know a number of groups, I'm told, were very successful and had interesting discussions around a number of these things. And maybe we can just start with these basic decisions. Now, the first one really gives you three choices. And from the kind of feedback I was getting, I didn't hear that there was a lot of arguments in favor of parallel mixed-member majority systems. Is there anyone who wants to talk about those, make cases for those? Is there any voices at all suggesting this is the road we ought to go down? Okay, so it really does seem to be then a kind of question about a mixed-member system that would be proportional or light in some kind of way. And I know there are people who have positions that incline them to either of those kinds of orientations. So who wants to start? Want me to choose? Julie says she'll start. Okay.
We had a really great group. We have a really great group, and there was a lot of good discussion, and we decided not to choose between MMP and MM Light. We decided that we liked a third option, which was, depending on the density of population, we would suggest for the high-density population areas a 50-50 split, for the medium-density population areas a 66-33 split, and for the low-density population areas, a 75-25 split, so that it isn't an either-or and that there isn't a sense of two classes of or two types of electoral systems, and maybe that would be an interesting option to consider.
Other voices? No one has any views on this at all? We've got 16 items to go. Jill.
Well, I'll just throw this out there. I'm not speaking for my group at all, but for me personally, I don't like the MM Light scenario. I don't think it achieves what is one of our values, which is proportionality. And I think it gives up, riding size gets larger. So I see it kind of as a no-win situation.
Anyone want to counter that? Ray. Oh, Ray, want to counter?
It might be a counter, yes. In our group, we recognized that it was very difficult to decide between these two until we had a better idea of the architecture across the region. So Julie's point is something that we'd be sympathetic with. But until we see it actually broken down over the geography of British Columbia, we couldn't come to a decision. And feel we need that before we can.
Wilf, and then Chuck.
Yeah, in response to Jill, if we remember that the two values that we've enunciated are local representation and proportionality, and that they're very close in popularity, I find it hard to picture a list system that really gives you local representation, even off a regional list. So keeping in mind that we want to somehow balance local representation, or perhaps even real local representation with proportionality, I think that a light system, in my group I suggested light would be something like Miller Light, 3.4%, is it?
I think I saw Chuck next, and I guess Jack's keeping the list.
I just have a question for you. Can you do that, what Julie is describing? Take different parts of the province and have 66, 33, and 50-50?
Well, you'd have a highly regionalized kind of system. I'm just trying to get my brain around it. Trying to kind of imagine what it might look like. I suppose you could. Then you would be obviously opting for a system which would have regional allocations, regional assignments, and clearly would be a not a hard to believe you'd ever get to a fully proportional system that way. You wouldn't get to proportionality; you'd get to something else. But kind of what you would, I can't quite picture yet. I mean, it would depend on, I guess, the arithmetic somehow. But in theory, it could be done.
Harney.
Yeah, I would just like to make the point, too, that in my understandings of how the list systems work, I think consensus on this issue could be dangerous. And the fact that I think we need to stay at either 40 or 50% list or drop down to a compensatory system that goes to 20, because from what I understand, that the proportionality of a two-thirds, one-third, or in that murky area is really not that proportional, and we may not achieve anything.
Rick.
I'd just like to say I'm actually in favor of the light system for the fact that you still can identify with your local rep. In addition to a regional rep, your size of riding stays relatively manageable as opposed to enlarging to, you know, twice the size, for example. There'd be lots of choices under that system. And the small parties actually would have a chance. You'd be able to have a choice of some of those small parties, especially in the north, whereas you won't with some of the other systems. Thank you.
RB.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we have dwelt a lot on MMM, MMP, MM Light, and during the public hearings, we also heard a lot from the presenters who were there, and certainly each has his own merits and demerits, but considering the essential or the priority attributes that we would like to see in a new system we are trying to evolve, MMP stands out. There's no question about that. Because that gives the proportionality that we all, as members in different groups, all the groups, identify that as one of the primary criteria. And, I mean, I'm speaking on my behalf. Of course, we discussed this in our group. Some members may feel differently, but I strongly feel MMP is the way to go. Now, about the list balance, we discuss a lot on this, and I can understand how and why some members are proposing different list balances for different scenarios. But we discussed this at length, and I personally am of the opinion we can go 50-50 throughout the province, and we discuss a fair bit about the northern region where someone could think that this could be a problem. For an example, looking at the federal electoral districts and the provincial, we found that the entire north was having only two basic federal electorates, electoral districts. And within these two, you get eight provincial electorates. And this, you can see four in each, beautifully divided. And either we can have one great north, really, maybe the true great north, strong and free, with all the eight seats, and four on constitutional basis and the other four on list basis. And dividing this eight into four is also very, very from the socio-economic and geographic factors. We find it very convenient to divide them, the 18 to 4. And we all felt generally that's a way with that we could go. So going by that, that's the most difficult area, if you like. But coming down to the other areas, we found 50-50 works well. And in fact, we can go into details when we discuss that sort of thing later. But I'm very confident we can have 50-50 and have the entire province on that basis.
Thank you, RB.
Yeah.
Jack, who's
Ken.
Next?
Ken.
I was in the group, Julie's group, where we talked about the different tiers. And the idea was with the low, the medium, and the high density tiers, that the lower density tiers wouldn't be giving up as much local representation, but would still benefit from a province-wide proportional representation, because we'd be looking to keep an overall 60-40 split. So your comment, I'm just wondering, what is it about it that we're missing that wouldn't make this proportional overall?
Maybe I didn't quite understand it. I mean, if we're really saying that the proportionality would be decided at a... I mean, are we talking about just differences within regions in terms of the ratios, or are you talking about something else?
Within regions that basically qualify for lower or medium or high density. So lower density regions may have a 75-25 split, whereas higher density may have 50-50. Whatever that would make it overall province-wide be 60-40, for example, something that would be palatable for proportional representation.
Oh, okay. I don't think completely understand it. But you're arguing for that the fundamental principle, though, would be MMP province-wide or MM light. I thought. Oh, okay. So that's a kind of question about whether regions might have.
Mr. Jaman, can I respond to that? In regard to what I said before, just for 1 minute. Now, even in the northern regions, now you know we have only 2 federal seats, and we are complacent with that sort of situation federally, and each one of them having 4 provincial seats. So in terms of constituency seats with 50-50, we are talking about 2 local constituencies putting to 1. And for an example, Peace River North and Peace River South, socially, geographically, economically, it goes pretty well. And it's only half of a federal constituency. So in that regard, I think our members should not have so much concern as you're expressing. And on that basis, that's why I suggested we can split 50-50 and throughout the province, 1 formula, easy to understand, and it works.
We are mixing up both points 1 and 2 here a little bit, and then maybe that's what got me confused. Because in fact, of course, they're deeply interconnected, but we need to make a kind of fundamental principle as whether the overall goal is overall proportionality or something lighter than that, I think. And then we can talk about the kind of ratios that might lead to that and whether they were variable. We had a couple of people argue that we ought to have essentially a light system, and a couple of people have argued for a more proportional one. Jack, who do you have that's next?
Julie, Sheila, Craig, Shoney, David, Wolf. And what you probably noticed, by the way, I've been given priority first-time speakers. So.
Okay, I'm just going to be really brief. Brought out was Joanne. We had Joanne, Bill, and Claude from the north, and we asked them as are from low density population areas. So certainly this idea, I think that RB, your statement that because the northern or low density areas now have less seats federally and they're happy with that or comfortable with that, to say that they would be comfortable with that on a provincial level, perhaps we need to ask them first before we make that assumption. Diane pointed out that we already really do have 3 levels of population density in the ridings as they exist now, between the low, the medium, and the high density. So that's all I wanted to say.
Sheila's on that. I will comment. RB came in on a particular point, a very, very specific as a kind of a rejoinder. We can try and pick that up if you're very brief. Just look very excited and wave your card a lot. Then we'll let you kind of come in right on a point. The next person is Sheila.
Yes. A large part of our group's discussion was the difficulty around being able to say that they liked MMP or MM Light, depending on how the rest of the plan went. But I have to say that because I value proportional representation equally with local representation, I feel MMP with a 50-50 kind of situation is a good plan. And I would like to remind people that they don't lose representation, especially if it, when it got down to the lists, if it was a regional list, then people will still have people from their region representing them. People are were seeing that they were losing representatives, and I think it's important to remind people that they don't.
Craig.
Yes, I just like go back to the, our three primary values and our actually our non-value as well that we all came up with. It was proportionality, local representation, and choice, and our non-primary value was majorities. MMP serves all of that. It serves proportionality, local representation, and choice, and the others don't. So MM Lite isn't proportional. So I don't think it's on the table.
Speak into the speaker.
MM Lite isn't proportional, so I don't think it's really on the table. And MMM is partially proportional. They don't satisfy local representation very well, I don't, in my opinion. But those are the options under this system. So I think MMP is our only option.
Shoney's next.
Yes. Further to what Craig was saying, so I'm quickly editing in my head. I don't think the MM Lite meets either the criteria of the best system for the province or our values or necessarily something that would please anyone. It's sort of a mixed bag that doesn't really achieve anything and would perhaps leave everyone feeling sort of begrudging. And added to what Craig would say, would say that MMP is the only one that meets our values in that way.
Wolf?
Oops. I used to realize my question is out of topic, so I decline.
Okay. Actually, I passed over David. I'm so sorry, David. I don't know how I could ever do that.
I didn't even notice. Thank you. I guess my sense of this is that some people I feel are looking at a light solution because it somehow gives you not quite as serious impact in local representation. And I'd like to point out that even with a one-third list, you're still increasing the district sizes by 50%. That's a fairly serious impact on local representation. Much below that, and I don't know why you'd bother. Really, if you have an issue on local representation in MMP, you need to address it by regional lists, not by decreasing the size of the list. And just to give an example of the impact of a one-third list, in the last election in Wales, the Labour Party got 50% of the seats on 36.6% of the vote. That's a fairly sizable, disproportionate measure. You know, if a party here got 50% of the seats on 36.6% of the vote, that's something I think we're trying to get away from. And going into a lightweight, and that's not even a lightweight, that's kind of on the light side of MMP, it's kind of why are you doing that? Because you've still got problems with winners or potentially wrong winners, completely disproportional results, and you're paying the price of increasing your district size by 50%. So it's like, why bother?
I think Rick Jack McDonald we had next.
Yeah, Jack Wilton.
I agree with those who say that really so many of these elements are interrelated that there are a couple of viable options, in my view at least, that can be looked at, but they have to be looked at as whole packages rather than element by element. You know, the balance between local representation and proportionality is obviously a key issue, and people will have different views about the proper outcome depending on how they balance those two. If people are concerned about local representation, then an MMP system can mitigate that a bit by having regional lists, so that's another component that we're going to discuss later on. One of the other issues, though, that I've been sort of troubled by is this issue of the differential status between list and constituency MLAs. And I'm not sure how that cuts on this, and I think, you know, it can either be a non-issue, as is apparently the case in New Zealand, or it can be a big issue, as it apparently is the case in Wales, to the extent that the Richards Commission, I think, cited that as a principal reason for recommending recently that the MMP system be changed to an STV system. All to say that, you know, I could see a couple of options being developed and fleshed out more fully with more of the components having been discussed, and then maybe we could have a better discussion rather than trying to determine the whole system by focusing on the first element of a complex interrelationship.
Do you want to comment?
Yeah. Quite how we would do that, you know, because when you take the 16 items, the permutations and combinations are not small. You know, I suppose logically, if you could have every single combination and permutation and kind of contrast them, one against another, though there might be so many that it would be hard to kind of then keep them in your head. But if you had a suggestion how we might do that, we ought to think about whether we can go down that road. Did you have a particular suggestion, Jack?
Oh, yeah. No, just kidding. What I'm thinking, I guess, is that we're moving on a kind of building block basis to build something from the bottom up, and that's fine. That's okay, and I think we're making pretty good progress on that. I just think we should keep at the back of our minds the fact that we could also do it the reverse way and maybe do that as a check, so that if the result of our incremental building of a system leads some to say, well, what if we looked at the, you know, another system that is built from the top down, and whether it's called an MMP light or whatever is immaterial to me, just as a check. It may be the case that we're going to go through this list without too much difficulty. It may be the case, though, that maybe somebody says, well, what about this alternative system? We could cut it a different way if we combine the elements in a different way, and there could be two choices rather than just the one.
No, I think that's very wise. I mean, I think that given the numbers of combinations, as you begin to build it up, you say, well, wait a minute, this doesn't look like the house we thought we were building. And, you know, where is it that we have to kind of go back and work at that? I guess we thought that if, you know, there is a kind of principled division between wanting to have a proportional system and one that is not proportional but provides some compensation in some kind to smaller parties. And, you know, and if we could kind of, if there was any kind of agreement on what that kind of underlying principle was, reflect some basic value position, that would be helpful. Are there arguments on either side of that question that we haven't heard that people want to make?
Perhaps on this particular issue before Edith is next, unless there's a person who wants to respond to Ken's question.
Well, I'm kind of responding. We had a discussion on this, and I'm not speaking for the result of the discussion. But this one is really, the list balance is really tied in with the seventh idea on how you're going to allocate the list, because it makes a big difference on whether or not you're going for a provincial list or a regional list, how you want to actually do the split. So I found it very difficult as the second item to come up with a proportionate figure, not knowing how we were going to actually allocate the list seats. And those two are really tied in together, because if you're going to do a regional list, then you would have, you could, you know, as we discussed, compensate for the lack of proportionality by having a higher list proportion in your system, or whatever you decided to do. So those two are really linked, and I can't see how you can make one decision at this level without knowing what you're going to do at the other level.
I think that's a very good point. So in some sense, two can be deferred till we get to seven, and maybe needs to be. Or even if you made a 10 decision, you'd probably have to come back and do that kind of rechecking that Jack was talking about. So I think you've hit maybe that the problem with that, with building block number two, on the head.
Okay, Rick and then Shoni.
Thank you. I'd like a little bit of explanation on David's point about being regions becoming 50% larger. I'm not sure how that would happen on a light system. I'm reading something from the Anderson submission. I think a lot of us dwell on the last election, which I find completely unfair. If you go back to the elections of 91 and 96, I'll read this right out of the submission. For ordinary years, MMS mirrored votes within seats just as well as full MMP has done in Scotland and Wales. Omitting the most extreme year in BC history, 2001, it was 8% on that Gallagher's index. This is well within the range of 5 to 9%. It also cuts disproportionality in half to first past the post. I'm again, with the 50% size increase, I'd like that explained a little bit further because I don't understand that.
You want to explain your point, David?
Yeah. If you're increasing the – if you have a 33% list, that means you have 66 – I mean, basically, for every 100 seats, you have 66 local seats. So that basically works out that each local seat has to look after 1.5 times the amount of work that they would typically look after beforehand, i.e. 50% increase. Basic mathematics.
Okay. It's Shoney and Wilf, and I did miss you, Wilf. I'm sorry about that. Shoney and Wilf.
And I know it's really hard to decide on one area when they're all interrelated, but I'm just wondering if we can sort of progress, if we can maybe say, use our principle of nothing is decided till everything is decided, but use the voting buttons and just have something to build on, and we may have to come back and tear it all down and change it again, but we could very well go in circles and every point is dependent on another point and never get anywhere.
So you're suggesting we have a kind of straw vote on number one?
Could Wilf, actually, I passed up Wilf 5 or 6 ago, and so maybe Wilf could chat first and maybe do that.
It's nice to be missed sometimes.
I'll never do it again.
There's a comment been made and alluded to a couple times that somehow Northerners are really happy with a federal district half again the size of the United Kingdom. I don't think we are happy with that kind of thing. So that's just a comment. The other comment is I simply do not understand, as one who has from time to time advocated real local representation, how regional representation would be the same as local representation. So please don't just glibly tell me that it's going to be the same and that I'll have the same representation even though one is off a regional list and another is a constituency candidate.
Okay. Did the buttons work today, Jack?
Well, I was just pointing out, when we did STV last week, we did not use the buttons. We kind of got a sense of where people were. We can, of course, use the buttons if you wish. There's no problem with using the buttons, but we can also take a kind of a measure of where people are without buttons if you want to be parallel. We've got quite a few speakers going, Julie. We're going to try and get a...
I wanted a clarification on the difference between MM Lite and MMP. That was all. If we're going to do any voting, I'd like that clear.
By MMP, I think we're talking about trying to produce a system in which the vote shares in the legislature will approximate about as close as reasonably possible the seat shares. MM Lite are systems in which you don't have that as a fundamental goal. The idea is, look, there are some small parties out there. They might have 10 or 15% of the votes. They're entitled at least some representation in the legislature. But we don't want to go to full proportionality because we think that will produce minority and coalition governments and so on. And so it's saying we want to provide some representation for these groups, but we don't want to go the proportional road. I mean, that's fundamentally, I think, the difference. So it's a kind of principled difference in how you structure and institutionalize so-called compensatory or light systems, there's all kinds of ways in which you might do that.
So the 3363, is that MMP or is that M light?
That's an MMP system. But we're really talking about the first point here. And I think Edith's point about let's skip two, come back to it when we know the kind of list we're talking about was actually a kind of a wise suggestion, kind of following up on the interrelated points that Jack mentioned. But do we want to have a kind of straw vote on whether we're talking about a kind of proportional system or something that has at least some compensation, some kind of recognition for other kinds of parties that doesn't aim to be fully proportional.
So the question then is either proportional or proportional
or light. Yeah, and those are big decisions.
Rick, on this clarification?
No,
yeah.
No, that's fine. I thought we were voting.
Yeah. No.
He was voting for me. Yay, Rick.
RB, is it on the clarification?
Yeah, yes, sir. I'm a little confused here because I suppose the way that we plan to do this, taking decisions on each one of these items one by one, looks very logical, and we did it with STV, and I don't see why we cannot do it that way, because although everything is connected in every, even in STV it was the case, and after all, to the question that 50-50, how can you have in order to make a decision on that, whether it should be provincial or regional, doesn't matter because even whether it is regional 50-50 or provincial 50-50, when it is regional 50-50, it will automatically be provincial 50-50. So these are not issues that are really stopping us doing what we are planning to do. I propose that we go ahead with the plan as planned.
And Shoni was right. Nothing's decided until everything's decided. We can revisit. Shoni, on this issue before we take a straw vote?
Yeah, I just have one point of clarification from the difference between MMP and MM Lite. What is the degree of disproportionality with MM Lite? Can it even be described as a proportional system? Or I'm just not quite clear now, because I thought it was once you get below a certain point, it's not
disproportional. But systems which you want to recognize that constituent systems are disproportional, so there you're trying to correct for some of that disproportionality without going fully proportional. So there's a kind of logical tension in that, right? But a number of people and a lot of submissions have argued for various kinds of reasons that that's a direction in which the assembly might want to go. So that has been on the table as far as we can tell.
We do have first-time speaker Paul.
Yeah, just for clarification, if we're going to vote between MMP and MM Lite, it would help me anyway if we knew what the percentage was. Is MM Lite is 30%?
MM Lite can be kind of whatever one wants, and that's...
It's really hard to vote between the two if you
Well,
don't
basically,
know,
yeah. It's whether you want to aim for proportionality or not in a mixed-member system. I mean, that's what the decision comes down to, doesn't it?
Yeah, although you could very much have a system that's more proportional than the present system.
Campbell,
I would prefer to put a number of 30 or a third or something and vote on that rather than...
Your fellow political scientist wants to say something, then we have Margaret and Ray.
Just a word about a couple of submissions that may clear it up. Typically, MM Lights, or the MMP Lights, as I would prefer, stipulate a fixed number of seats. They say, okay, 10, 15, 20... But as Ken says, the goal is to add an element of representing parties or party leaders, some of the submissions suggested, that are not otherwise there. But the goal is not to produce a proportional outcome. That's why Ken's very carefully, in the descriptions of these things, tried to in some ways avoid the word proportionality or full proportionality, because it gets this slippery slide. So the real choice in the first question is the major goal of the electoral system to produce a proportional outcome? And if it is, then you want MMP. If it's something else, or if it's not that, if it's mixed, then it's not MMP.
Margaret and Ray are on the schedule.
Okay, thank you. I'm getting a little fuzzied out in all the 60-30 number stuff. And my values tend to go with Wilf's. I strongly value local representation, at least for those areas like my own, which are in the north and have low populations and would be greatly enlarged by a lot of the proposals we're discussing. And it's been my sense that addressing that comes out of the mixed part of the system, that is, it's possible to have a different system in those areas, and that the choice then between proportional and compensatory doesn't necessarily hinge on that value, but rather on how highly we value proportionality. Can you clarify if I'm correct on that?
I'm not clear if I understand your question.
Okay, if I value proportionality as a first principle, then clearly proportional gives me more proportionality than compensatory.
Compensatory doesn't give you proportionality. It gives you some compensation.
Some compensation
for parties
right.
that otherwise wouldn't get in.
Right. And if I value local representation in the North more or very strongly, then do these two necessarily choose, does that necessarily choose between these two, or is that value going to have to be handled elsewhere in the system?
I would have thought that if you wanted local representation defined traditionally, and that is in terms of kind of single member constituency districts that were as small as possible, you would probably want an MM light system because they would have fewer on the list side. Does that help, Margaret?
Well, I've seen
some
of the
you want to make that side as small as possible because that the more you put on the list side, the bigger constituency district.
Well, it can be as big as it wants as long as it's not in my backyard.
Ray.
Well, I'm entirely in with this with Margaret and Wilf and Julie, in as much that for me to vote for MMP is to sort of give a denial to what I think I ought to be looking for in the North. And so the mixed system that I think I'm going to probably find after all this discussion will have a different form of MMP or MM light somehow combined as it goes northerly from the lower mainland. And until we see that mapped, until we see what that means in terms of areas, I think it's premature to vote for MMP because it suggests, therefore, the lower proportions of MMP, which sort of veer towards MM light, would not be considered. I would still like to be consider that, even though I'm for MMP generally.
Campbell would like to comment on that.
I shouldn't really do this. I should stay away. But it seems to me there's a bit of a confusion. You can't vary the ratios within an MMP system and keep it MMP. You can't say, right, we're going to have 50-50 in the lower mainland and 25-75 in the north and keep it MMP, right? What it means is you're going to have quite different calculations. Ken says you can do it, but it doesn't add up to MMP. It adds up to a series of regional calculations. And, of course, that it would become very disproportional. So it would be almost a token proportionality in the 25-75. And what the system would like overall wouldn't be the arithmetical average of all those. It might look like a camel.
Ray wants to respond to that.
Well, I hear those words, and I don't understand it, you see, because it seemed to me a mixed system probably does suggest, especially for BC, if it has those special characteristics, that we're looking for something that works in the north and works in the south. And from what I hear from the northerners, that the MMP, in its full extent, say 50-50, tends to reduce their ability to feel that they've got local representation. So then I say, well, what about 60-40? What about 75-25? What about 90-10? And at some moment, I guess I've gone light. Now, when I've gone light, I don't know. And how the three potential regions, which definitely are three potential regions in terms of density, relate to an electoral system, I haven't yet mapped. So while people may be confident that they have that knowledge, I don't. And maybe I'll have to go off and search for a way of describing that and putting the architecture together, because we may have the cottage in mind, but we may not have the right services and plumbing to fit all components of the cottage, whether it's in the basement or the attic. Thank you.
We've got three first-time speakers. Frankie?
I almost can't remember what I was going to say now. I think that we're sort of going around in circles here. I think, you know, we're talking about mixed member systems, but only one has proportionality, and that's MMP. It's in the name, mixed member majoritarian, mixed member light, moderate mixed systems, or mixed member proportional. So if we're looking for proportionality in the system, there's obviously only one choice.
Tanis.
Frankie pretty much said it for me. I think I'm rather confused by all of the discussion, but I just keep coming up with that one word, proportion. Do I want the word proportion in the type of system? that we're creating, or do I want something that's more of a mixed bag? And for me, I'd like mixed member proportional.
John.
I think we should explore MMP Lite a bit more because of the north. And I think that would be a balance point between the north and, you know, and us, Vancouver. So I'd like to see that explored a bit more.
Does anybody want to comment just on what John said on exploring MMP, I mean, on that particular question before we go to my list of speakers? Harley.
Very quickly, if this issue is this divisive and it's causing us to bog down on the very first point, maybe we have to go through the process of doing both systems.
Jack, can I comment to his comment to his comment? Okay.
Hey, you've caught on to the system.
Thank you. Basically, in our discussion, we went through all of this, and we found in our group that between the people that were there, there was low, medium, and density, and high density, or representatives from low, medium, and high density geographical areas. And our understanding was that any change to the electoral system would almost automatically require the Boundary Commission to have a look at our boundaries. So they would have to relook at the boundaries anyway. So we said, people want it all. Wilf doesn't want to lose, and Joanne doesn't want to lose, and Claude doesn't want to lose, and Bill doesn't want to lose so much local representation. So my question to Ken before about, and I think it's come up as well from Paul, is if you have three distinctive areas, which we already have in the province, or three distinct types of population density already, and if we say, at least for a period of time, say, take those three and have one with a lower area level of proportionality, the other one with a medium level of proportionality, and the other with a high level of proportionality, overall you maybe have a proportionality level of 40. But is this not something that would resolve the issue or at least be worth considering instead of saying it's got to be an either or?
I'll just respond to that. I'm probably from one of those medium populated areas, and you're kind of putting me in purgatory there. I either want proportionality or I would have to settle for a compensatory system, but don't put me halfway.
Okay. You're in a medium area and you had a 33%, you're saying you don't want that. But for some other people, in speaking in our group, they were fine with it. And I would love to hear from some of the people in our group because we had a really good discussion. And they were quite happy with 33% or 25%, depending on their area.
We're going to take Jay first. Jay?
I think we're getting wrapped up in labels. And I don't think the question should be, are we going to look at MMP or MM Lite? It should be, what's the balance between the proportional local representation that we're willing to deal with and go from there?
Could you explain that further, Jay?
I think we're making a system that is for best for BC. So if you say, okay, well, we're doing MMP, so that means that we have to have a 40-60 split. I think that that is a decision that's made way too early in the process and that we should actually draw out what we're looking at and have a look at how those numbers pan out in the different regions of the province before we decide, okay, we're doing MMP. Take away the label and make the system that works for the province and then call it whatever it is when we're done.
Anyone like to speak to that point particularly?
I would, Jack.
Okay.
It's Paul.
Paul? Yeah, Paul, sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to support what Jay just had to say, and that's exactly what I was going to say, is that I think we're... If we create a system that has to be 50-50 right now and we go right to the end, and I think we should move forward. And I also agree with the point that we, before we throw out MM Lite, because I think it is going to be a balance that we do have to strike here, before we throw out MM Lite and select MMP right now, I think we need some more discussion around that point.
So you'd like that discussion back in your groups for a while? MMP and MM Lite, and see what else one might be able to do. Well, we're going to, those of you who have spoken before, I'm going to ask you to try and keep your comments quite brief because we still have quite a few speakers. I'm going to take Alan first. He has not spoken yet. Alan.
I'm so confused on what the North wants. I've heard of some from some members, and in the discussions last week, I've heard that they want to be on the system of the same as the rest of the province. I've heard from members saying, no, in my writing, it wasn't important that I had a local rep. We want to be on a system that's the same as the province. This seems to be an issue that comes up all the time that we've not had a clarification on, or I haven't then. What is the North, first of all, and what do they want? Because it seems different in each locale, and we spin and spin and spin trying to come back from that. I thought last week when we were going through STV, at the end result, the North wanted to be treated under the same system as the rest of the province. And now where we're going on MMP, we're back to something else. So I'm sorry I'm confused, but is there an issue of do we have to hear from the North? Does the North have to get together and come back to us and say this is what we want?
The expert has just come to, well, Campbell's around too, but STV and MMP do different things, of course, to the districts. RB, please make it really brief.
Thanks, Chairman. I mean, we are trying to be brief, but points must be put across. I think we hear a genuine fear of losing the degree of local representation in the North. There is no question. It's heard well with the seriousness it deserves. But with a 50-50 break, you can see this applies to every corner of this province. In other words, 79 seats, 50%. That means about two seats becoming one, whether it's in the North or in the South or right in downtown Vancouver. It's the same thing. There is the impact of this process will not be different to the North compared to the South or any other place. So that is my first point. So please look at it in the right perspective. And secondly, as far as number one goes, it's very straightforward because MMP is for full proportionality. MMM is to get the weaknesses of both the systems, if you like, as we have learned before. And MM light is only partial proportionality. If proportionality is a matter of interest to us, we should go for MMP. Simple, straightforward. Period. Now, 50-50 makes it easier because as two seats, as I explained, it goes pretty well with in the North as well as in the South. My dear fellow members, it's not different. North is not treated different. The impact is not different. So I think it's a very, very considerate position. We go for MMP and 50-50. Okay. Now, I want to add one more point, that STV system, as you know, will have only regional MLAs, not constituency MLAs. In that case, I can understand what the North is speaking about, because you don't have a constituency MLA. But here in the MMP, you have a constituency MLA. So that's another addition why we should go for MMP 50-50. Thank you.
We've got about five speakers. We're going to do those, and then we're going to just take a straw vote to see where we go next. And we're going to take the first-time speakers first. Ian?
I was just going to say, can we vote and sort of see where the group is and then go from there?
Yeah, we're going to do that in just a minute. Yep. Leanne?
I'm just pretty surprised that we're having such a hard time with this right now, because we went through the exact same thing with STV and we didn't have this problem, and we all agreed that in the North, DMs of two or three was okay, which is bigger than what we're talking about right now.
Joanne?
To respond to Leanne really quickly, the DMs would have been two, but we still would have had the same number of people representing us directly. And to respond to Alan, it's really hard for – I can see why you're confused about the North, because we are all individuals and we all have different ideas. I think that what the North really wants is local representation, but we also want proportionality. So there's no cut-and-dried answer to what the North wants. We want the best of both worlds. We don't want to lose what we have, and we want to gain proportionality. So I have no answers for you.
We're going to take two more, and then we're going to do a couple of straw votes and see where we might go. Edith and then Shoney.
I'm just really confused on the
the topic that Julie raised. So I just want a clarification. Now, are we looking that the province is divided regionally by population and that every region has proportionately the same number of seats, but there's various levels of allocation depending on whether it is like a northern region where you would have more constituency seats and less list seats, or it's the downtown area or the GVRD area where you would have a bigger proportion of list seats versus constituency seats. Like, you're looking at a regional thing. You're not looking at there would be a greater proportion of constituency seats in Chilliwack area than there would be in the area next to it. I mean, you have to look at a large regional area. So how is it divided up, I guess, is what I'm trying to figure out.
I think that's what I heard her saying, that the list constituency ratios would be quite different in different regions. But that's irrespective of the question of whether you want the whole province to be, at the end of the day, proportional or not. And as you pointed out in your earlier comment, that's a question when you get down to the regional allocations.
I did promise Shoni, and then Rob, and then we are going to do a straw vote. No more cards until we take a straw vote. Shoni.
In terms of looking at MMLite and MMP, and looking at outcomes, I keep hearing that MMLite results in very little change. And to me, that sounds like when we were talking last time about whether we were going to have a third system, which was some tinkering with the current system. We're talking about a one-party majority government, little proportionality, yo-yo politics, no consensus-based politics, and token representation for maybe a third or fourth party. That's fine. If, like Harley said, we need to explore that tinkering with the current system, that's great, let's do it. But I'm not prepared to leave the Citizens Assembly and tell all those people that came to speak to us and wrote to us that we didn't even take a good solid look at MMP and consider it as one of the systems. There's been a strong call for proportionality, and I think we owe it to look at that. And if that means looking at two systems, then I think we have to do that.
Okay, Rob, you're going to get the last wise word before we take some votes.
I'd just like to remind the members that we were sent here to find the best system for BC, not three or four different systems for different regions of BC. And that's basically it.
Well, I think before we get any farther, obviously, there are strongly held views on this basic difference. And I think it would be helpful for all of you to know kind of where other people stand and what the general distribution of opinion is. And so maybe it would be a good idea just to have a kind of straw vote, just to kind of let straws in the wind, to let people kind of know what the balance of opinion looks like on the question of whether proportionality in an MMP system is a fundamental goal, or whether some kind of compensation, something much less, is really the option that you want to pursue. Ultimately, you may come back, and as Shoni suggested, have to pursue both. Are we doing buttons, or are we just going to do a kind of show of hands to kind of see?
Are you ready for the buttons?
Well, no, we ruled out A a long time ago, I think.
Oh, it's going to make it a lot easier and simpler.
So I don't know how the buttons work, so the maestro here is going to do it.
Well, there's the first button will be for MMP, okay? Fully proportional, MMP.
Do we know what the first button is?
First button is one. Button number one.
Where are the buttons?
Well, we're keeping things really simple. And the second button would be for something less than that. That is something MMP light. Mixed member light. Okay? So this is just rough, and then we can deal with these later. So are you all clear on the question? Okay, you can vote on the first one. And okay. Where's our votes? Okay, then the second. Are you ready for the second one?
Oops.
Oh, you haven't. There you go.
There it is. Okay, so that gives you a sense of the basic distribution of opinion and what it's like on that question. And it was about, what, roughly 5-1? So, you know, that's just information for you to think about in dealing with this. Okay. Well, where do we go from here? I think Edith made a very sensible suggestion that this balance, it might well be regionalized. I mean, there might be some of the kind of variation that Julie and Ray have referred to within a system that was in province-wide terms, and maybe we'd do well to leave that till we got to those particular kinds of issues. We could come back to it. Did you want to say something, Derek?
We can do 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, and 9 without worrying about 1, 2, and 7. We can leave those as question marks and move on to details so we can get something accomplished right now, and that's what I'd like to do.
So is 3 one of the ones we want to deal with? Well, this is a question about candidates running, and there were 3 options, and there was reasons why one might take positions on these. It had to do with the relationship between members and the kind of strategies parties might have and the kinds of people who might be elected and so on. Remember, the first option was people had to run on both lists. The second option was it was optional. You could choose one or other or both. And the third one was that you could only run on one side of the system. Are there people who want to make arguments for, well, let's say for A, that would require people to run on both lists? Anyone wants to make an argument for that? Douglas.
Well, in our discussion, we actually talked about 3, talked about 4, and then we realized something from 4 came back and referred to 3, and that is that with number 3A, we sort of agreed that to try to solve one of the problems potentially is to you must run a constituency candidate if you want to have a list candidate. And the people in our group, I'm trying to remember the reason why we went with that. We felt it was important. Somebody from our group, can you step up to the plate right now and give that reason? It's right over here right now.
Rob?
I believe it was to eliminate the zombie effect so that you... the zombie effect?
A creates zombies.
A creates zombies.
And C eliminates them. And B makes them optional.
No, it was the Italian. It was the Italian one. That was it. It was the Italian effect. But also to allow a person to run on a constituency, but not have to run on a list, so that you could allow for a independent to win as well.
That's the B option.
Julian Craig.
I can't remember which person in our group, but we had pluses and minuses for all 3 options, and then, of course, we came up with a 4th. And the suggestion was, why don't we look at the percentage of votes that any particular party got in the last provincial election, and according to the percentage of votes they got, they must run candidates in that percentage of ridings before they could get put members on a list as well.
That's a version of 4. Derek? Maybe, sorry, Jack's keeping
a list. Go ahead. Well, Craig is next, and then Lil and Derek.
One thing we haven't actually mentioned yet is the idea of having either provincial-wide lists or regional lists. And I think it would be great if candidates could choose whether they're going to run as a local constituency rep or as a regional rep. And quite markedly direct their campaigns to be either a regional rep or the small local rep and be able to be separate from that. So in our choice here for number 3, we should make that possible, and I think that B does that.
Lil.
We had pluses and minuses for running on both sides, being forced to run on both sides of the list. But one of the pluses was that if a constituent is forced to run on both lists, then they are forced to have regional interests as well as constituency-based interests. And so you would get better representation regardless of who won from which side.
So that's an argument for A. Right. Thanks, Lil.
Okay, Gladys.
Yes, I don't like the word must. I would like to see that they can run for one or the other or either, or
so
both.
So you're for B.
And Derek?
I think C is the one that I would choose. The concern among solving politicians that's possible with B is a concern, not in the sense that, oh, we kicked that bastard out and now he's back, but it's just a question of legitimacy. If somebody loses an election, they've lost an election. And I want to make sure that everybody is in the House and their legitimacy is unquestioned. I think C does that best.
Lil wants to respond to that.
When you must choose one side of the system or the other, we also came up with the point that you don't actually choose the list, your party does. So you don't choose to be on your list, your party chooses who goes on the list.
Okay, Craig wants to respond to Derek first, and then we'll go to the first speakers. Yeah, Craig.
Is it true that you will not have zombie candidates if you have open lists? As in, a candidate may lose in a local race, but to that local group of people, but may actually win a vote in an open regional list, and not be a zombie candidate therefore.
Well, I guess it's a definition of what's a zombie. Traditionally, it's thought to be someone who loses in a constituency, but then gets elected because they come from a list. And, of course, it might be a closed list or it might be an open list. But that would address a little bit Derek's legitimacy issue if you ended up at the top of your list on an open list. Wouldn't that be fair, Derek, to say?
CJ and then Craig, number two. CJ?
Just in response to the legitimacy question, to follow on to Derek and the comment over there, if you run an open list for your list candidates, then you get your constituency vote, you vote those people in directly, but you also have a direct input into who gets elected on your open list. If it's a closed list, the parties select the candidates that are on that list. If it's an open list, all they do is put their candidates into that pool of availability. And then your first preferences get selected. So there's no doubt about those candidates' legitimacy. They're in there. They're there to do a job. We discussed roles then. What are the backbench list members going to do? And that's number five. So I'm sorry I'm skipping the Italian problem. I'll come back to it, I promise. Generally, the smaller parties are going to inherit those list seats. That's what they're going to be doing. So to come back to the list constituency access question then, we had a number between 1 and 15 or 20, I think, of that we would settle. Like once we'd selected once we started getting into the nitty-gritty of it, we would have to select a number of constituency seats so as to decide how many candidates would have to run in order to be legitimate and get some list seats. Not win, mind you, but run.
Craig Peterson, we've got about five or six names here. Maybe we'll do the five or six names and maybe do a little bit of a kind of a poll on this one, see where we're at. Okay, and then we'll go into discussion groups. Craig.
Our group had a really good long discussion about the advantages of going with the best of the losers, although we didn't like the connotations of that. It eliminated all the problems of having open lists, closed lists, and maybe Edith, if she's in the mood, feels like talking about it.
She's next on the list.
Hey.
Okay, yeah, we did have a discussion. I think we sort of decided we liked the name the Silver Winners. That actually, I guess one of the problems with going for the must run on both lists, if you look at it as two different lists, is just sort of hit me at this stage because I've never thought of it before, but I don't know what you do with independent candidates at that point because they're running at a constituency level. How they run on a list, I have no idea. But aside from that, if you go for the silver candidate list, then you are just doing a straight party vote, and the list is made up of those people who have garnered enough support in their local constituencies to hit the top of the list. And so that sort of negates having to actually worry about, because everybody has to run on a constituency level, there is not two levels. So that eliminates three and four. They all meld in together. That's how you get your party list. And you don't have the two levels. You don't have the zombie candidates that manage to lose decidedly in a constituency level, but their party stuck them in, and they got in there anyway, which to me is the definition of a zombie. It's not somebody that lost the election by 200 votes or 50 votes or whatever. So that sort of eliminates that problem.
Shoni, on this particularly, to respond? Okay.
In our group, that came up, and Andre pointed out, actually, that we're not necessarily talking about the silver place candidates because it's not necessarily the second person in your riding because that second party may not need a list seat to be filled. It may be the person who came fourth or fifth in your riding. So it's really unpopular in your riding. But maybe, you know, maybe elected from their party for the list. So then you would have people that were not necessarily elected in their riding and not voted on by their region. And you'd also create a problem where there would be a benefit to having few parties running in a riding because then you'd get a larger vote share. So that would put pressure on smaller parties not to run to divide the, because there'd be more division of votes, so then we might end up with just a couple major parties again.
We have a list of six more people. And I would ask you to only comment on new stuff, okay, rather than repeating an argument and try and be brief as you can, because my hunch is that we should try and see where we're at with respect to this question and probably ought to get back into discussion groups reasonably soon because there's lots to discuss. So I'm not going to take any more unless I'm... You're in charge, by the way, unless you tell me to, but I'm not going to take any more names. So we have David.
There's one difficulty I see with 3C, where you must choose one side or the other, and that is in a situation where you have the smaller parties. Smaller parties tend to get their seats from the list. That's fine. So if you're the leader of the smaller party, you'd probably want to be on the list because that's where you're going to get your seat. But if you can only choose one side or the other, that means that we're not allowing the leader of the smaller party to try for a constituency seat. And I just don't think that's fair. I think we should allow the people from the smaller parties to try for constituency seats, and if they don't win, then they can always pull back and get a list seat based on the support for their party.
Okay, Margaret.
I think I want a clarification that follows up on something Edith said. I do have a strong concern that independent candidates should not be disadvantaged, and my inclination is to say that people should be free to run on one or both, but I wanted to ensure, to ask you to say whether or not there was some difference in these three choices for independents.
No, because I think the only place where it would be applicable would be A, and I think you could say that independents wouldn't have to form an independent list. They could still run in a district. You could make that provision. They could have a one-person list, but that would be a formality that wasn't going to go anywhere. So, and in these mixed-member systems, independents are almost only going to win, as we said earlier this morning, in a constituency level contest. In these wider regional ones, their chances are pretty much zero.
Hardy.
Yeah, I'm just looking at those options A, B, and C, and A and C to me look like sort of negative responses. You know, I'm a strong advocate for voter choice, but at the same time, I think we have to give parties a fair amount of choice on their own. Otherwise, we're creating a system in which they can't operate and govern in a proper way or run and campaign in that way, too. So when I look at C, I think that in some response to the support there is that we're trying to limit party strategy, so to speak, so that we as voters can kind of control our behavior. And I'm not sure if that's the way to go. Like, I look at it and I go that I agree with David's point that we got to give the more restrictive we make it, the more restrictive we make it on the smaller parties. And we actually put the smaller parties at a disadvantage because the bigger parties will have advantages. So we have to look at those implications. In the end, I think that if we're going to have maximum choice and try to give ourselves voter choice, we, in fairness to the parties, we got to give them some leeway in which to operate as a government and as a party. So B seems to be the way to go.
Okay, we've got three speakers. So I ask you to be quite brief. We're going to take a straw vote and see where we are on these. Jeremy.
Thank you. Quick question for Ken and Campbell. What kind of problems, if any, have Germany or New Zealand experienced with using option B, where candidates are free to run on both sides?
No specific problems I know of. I mean, they have implications for the party's ability to identify who's going to get elected off the list, because you don't know if they're running on both sides. That's just a kind of strategic calculation. It does mean that voters probably don't know which of the list candidates are likely to be successful. My recollection in the last election in New Zealand, the Labour Party elected 5 members off the list, and they were from positions 2, 3, 20, 29, and I think 31, if I remember rightly. Well, you could never predict that in advance. So if the party was trying to use the list to make some representational differences or something, would be difficult for them to do that because they wouldn't know which members were going to get elected in the constituency. But that's not really a problem. So there hasn't been problems with this.
Okay, RB.
Thank you, sir. I think we are citizens' assembly on electoral reform, but we seem to be talking as if sometimes, at least, that elections, electoral reform and elections are an end in itself. But it's only a means to an end, to a good government. That's what we are looking for. So, and fortunately or unfortunately, we are in a party system of government. That's the Westminster style of government, which we have no mandate to change. So within that system, my fellow members will understand that it is essential that the parties, their leaders, must get into the legislature if we are to have a good legislature and a good government, and indeed an opposition. So in that regard, I agree with Harley's and David's comments, it's not only for small parties, even for big parties it applies. So free to run on both, B, would be my choice because of that reason. And this does not necessarily mean that all the candidates will run on both, but because of the need I said. Now, the next one is, when it comes to the constituency access, I want to say this. Now, we all know we would be considering some kind of a threshold for election, there's a 5% or 2% or whatever. So then having a constituency seat is only something in addition to that. Do we want to overload it? And at the same time, there may be some parties who don't have concentrated support in some small areas but have wider issues to talk about and of the interest of the British Columbians who are on regional and provincial basis. So for that reason, tying to a constituency seat, I don't think it's appropriate and is helpful. So these are the comments I got to add. Thank you.
Thank you. And Julius said that she would promise to show, demonstrate that she can say something less than a minute. Go ahead.
You get one today, Jack. Shoni brought something up in our meeting, and I think it's really important. And she said half the battle is getting on the nomination list anyway, however you cut it. Some of the smaller parties or independents won't have the resources to run members on both sides, but they should have the option to do it. Others will. And some candidates may or may not feel comfortable, more comfortable running once they get to know a new system, which won't happen perhaps in the first election. But they may come to, as the roles of the different MLAs would even themselves out. Some candidates may say, hey, I feel that I can best represent the overall global issues of the province, and another may say, I would rather represent the local constituent.
Rob, we can do three buttons, can't we? We're doing A, B, C. We can do that. Okay. So you see what they are up there. The first button, the top button, is A. Your choice must run on both lists, and I'll tell you in a minute when we start. B, of course, free to run on both. C, must choose one side or the other. Are you ready, Rob? Okay, go ahead, vote. I'm taking bets. Pretty clear.
There's a lot of people abstain. Were the people having trouble making
no,
the system
that's,
work? That,
no, that's not abstain. That's C. Read that as A, B, C.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So B, of course, is far and away the choice of the assembly. Okay? We're going to now go to just 1 minute. We've got a couple of things. We're going to go back to discussion groups. The break is at 3:30 in the concourse. However, just to let you know, the hats, by the way, that are on sale, try and buy yours. If you've ordered them, try and pick it up by 5:30. At the break would be very nice. Secondly, a bracelet has been found, and you can get that at the help desk so that if you've lost your bracelet, Craig, it's there.
So we'll be doing really the rest of this stuff tomorrow morning. We've got to try because that's the time we're going to have to come back. Some members may want to discuss this in the informal session tonight. So hopefully groups can get through with some kind of discussion so that we can have a discussion tomorrow, because we really do need to get this done tomorrow if you want to have a second option.